Tzariches, Daf Tzariches, and we're really up on the top of the Amud, but the truth be told, I think we have to go back to the Mishnah, because I have to admit that I didn't understand this Mishnah at all. The truth is, it's a very complicated sugya, but at least, you know, since I saw you last, I got a bit of a grasp of what's going on in the Mishnah. So we're not going to read this inside. I'm just going to sort of summarize it. The Mishnah has two cases of a sefer. And again, all that svarim we said yesterday were written on scrolls, where a person dropped one end of the scroll. Now, it's a little confusing, but in the Hebrew translation, the part of the scroll that fell from his hands is called the rush. Now, I would have thought intuitively that maybe the part that he remains holding on to in his hands is called the rush. So I'm just mentioning this to you because I'm using the Hebrew translation, and now again, the word rush means two things. Let's not confuse it. You know, sometimes the word rush, as it's used in the Mishnah, tells me where he's standing, the person who dropped the, half of the sefer, we'll call it, right? That's rolling down. So, for example, in the Reisha, we're talking about a person who's standing on an eskupa. And in the sefer, we're talking about a person who's standing berosh hagak. So the word rush here means on top of the roof. Now in the Reisha, he's standing on an iskupa, and we're going to have to see the Gemara, what is the status of this iskupa? And the surprise to me, at least, was that the iskupa might actually be a Reshus HaYochin unto itself, which would mean that it is 10 tvachim high off the ground and 4 tvachim wide. And that's a different kind of an iskupa than what we're used to. You know, our iskupas are, you know, an etzba or two etzbos from the ground. But they had a very tall iskupa. And they probably, as we mentioned yesterday, they probably climbed up steps in order to end up on this iskupa. Okay. So it's a possibility that this iskupa is a Rishus HaYochid. Now, one thing is clear. Whatever the status of the iskupa is, the sefer itself rolled into a Rishus HaRabim in the Reisha of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah allows him to roll the sefer back up, and he's standing, according to one possibility, in a Rishus HaYochid. If you assume that an iskupa is a Rishus HaYochid. Now, even if I'll grant you that the iskupa is not a Rishus HaYochid, but in the Sefer, he's standing Barosh HaGag. Clearly he's standing in a Rishus HaYochid. So that we just have to, again, what I'm about to say is something that you would say to a first grade class, you know, just 5-year-olds who have to know this, but we have to spell it out. And that is that there's a halacha called Ogdo Biyado. We had a whole sugi about this, if you remember, in Masechet Shabbos. And Ogdo Biyado means that from Leches Hotzah, even though, again, the as he calls it, the Rosh HaSefer is in Rishus HaRabim, he's standing in a Rishus HaYochid, either in the Reisha, if you assume a scoop is Rishus HaYochid, or in the Sefer when he's standing on the Rosh HaGag, he is rolling that Sefer back into a Rishus HaYochid, and the Sefer is in a Rishus HaRab. How could that be possible? And once again, you know, I have a great deal of respect for a Sefer, but I'm not going to violate a Malacha Doraisa for the sake of Kavod HaSefer. So we must somehow reduce the Hotzah Doraisa here to a Derabbanan. And to do that, we apply the principle called Ogdo Biyada. So that even though the Rosh HaSefer, as he calls it, which you and I might call the bottom of the Sefer, is in a Rishus HaRabim, he's standing and he's rolling it up into a Rishus HaYachid, nevertheless, it never really completely was Nach in a Rishus HaRabim, because it's Ogdo B'yodo. And you may remember we had a case where he throws something out into the air, but he's holding on to the string, and he can pull it back with the string. That was a sugya that we had in Masechta Shabbos. So that's called Ogdo B'yod. So now what happens is, and I didn't realize this yesterday, we have reduced the catastrophe from a Doraisa to a Drabanan, meaning even if I assume that he's in a Rishus HaYachid, and even if I assume that the Sefer fell, meaning the Rosh HaSefer, into Rishus HaRabim, so by rolling it back, he's taking it from Rishus HaRabim back into Rishus HaYachid, there's no biblical violation of Aleches Hotzah because of Ogdo B'yodo. Hence, we reduce it down to a Drabanan. And just like we saw in the previous sugya with regard to Tefillin, and we want to protect the Kedushas Tefillin, here we're talking about a Sefer, we want to protect the Kedushas Sefer, the Rabbanan might step away and allow for leniencies. So that's just the Aleph Bey's introduction to this mission. Now, is it permissible under all circumstances for him to be Golel the Sefer back to where he is? The Reisha says that there's no issue. He's standing on an iskupa, and it fell into Rishus HaRabim. He can roll it back up, Kedusha Sefer, and we're going to allow him to do so. Then we get to the second part of the Mishnah. And here the Mishnah makes it conditional. It's not absolute that under all circumstances he's allowed to roll it back up, because he's standing on Rosh Hagag, and the Mishnah says, where did the Sefer, meaning the Rosh HaSefer, where did it end up? Is it suspended in air, or is it on the ground? And if we assume it's suspended in air, it hasn't reached the ground of Rishus HaRabim, how far up in airspace is it? Rishus HaRabim is Ole Ad Asorah Tvachim, and the Mishnah says that if he can catch the Sefer before it dips below Asorah Tvachim, then he's allowed to be Golel. But if Mishi Gil Asorah Tvachim, he wasn't quick enough on the draw, now the Rosh HaSefer is suspended in midair above Rishus HaRabim, but within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rishus HaRabim, we're not going to allow him to be Golel the Sefer. Ah, you'll ask me, Shem Mishamayim, you're talking about embarrassing, humiliating the Sefer Torah. It's going to stay for the next 23 hours suspended in midair. So we have a fallback position, which reduces the level of Bizoyan HaSefer, and that's called Hofcho Alaksav. And once again, it's a little bit similar to what we discussed about Tefillin, that there are various levels of Bizoyan to the Tefillin. And for example, we spoke about public Bizoyan to the Tefillin, when you have to pass it from one person to the other. And we spoke about if it's a Nachri, and he might desecrate the tefillin if it's out there to Mokum Shein Mishtamer, which is exposed to a Nachri, and especially when the Nachrim had a Gzeir against tefillin. And we spoke about Listim and all different kinds of nuances. Here also, we have different ways of at least reducing the Bizoyan HaSefer. Now, in the case of Iskupa, which was the Reish of the Mishnah, there was no qualification whatsoever. We didn't discuss how far down the Rosh HaSefer landed. And the implication is that it landed on the ground. And we said the Iskupa might be Rishus HaYachid. So we're kind of like in a bind, because when we get to the middle case of the Mishnah, which is Omei B'Rosh HaGag, he's clearly in a Rishus HaYachid. Here, we're not happy about the Sefer that the Rosh HaSefer that landed and is suspended within 10 tefachim of the ground of a Rishus HaRabim, and despite the Svar of Ogdo B'yodo, we're not going to allow bringing the Rosh HaSefer back into Rosh HaYochid for the sake of Kovod HaSefer, we're going to say, let's do a middle of the road kind of thing, and Hofcho Alaksa. In the Reisha, which, if again, this is a big if, we would assume that the Eskupa has the status of Rosh HaYochid, meaning it's 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim wide, the Sefer clearly landed in a Rosh HaRabim. We had no inhibitions about allowing him to roll the Sefer back into the Eskupa, into a Rosh HaYochid, the Rosh HaSefer. And we didn't try to, you know, sideswipe it and just hope for Al-Aksav and, you know, fall back on that kind of minimizing the Bizoyan of the Sefer. We said, no. We want to take the Sefer back into the Eskupa, into Sayyachid. We're going to allow him to roll it back up, despite the fact that it's on the ground of Rosh HaRab. And yet in the Sefer of Hoya Barosh HaGad, all of a sudden we said, no. If it reaches the ground, and if even if it's suspended in midair, but it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, don't you dare roll it back up to the Rosh HaYochid. Barada Hofchal Aksa. Now, the Mishnah becomes even more complicated by introducing Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says everything depends upon whether or not the Rosh HaSefer landed on the ground, or there's at least a minimum mashu of an airspace, such that the Sefer is still suspended in air. And he says that if it's suspended in the air, even he calls it kimlo machat, which means a mashu, it's hardly even visible to the naked eye, then golo etzlo, even though he's on the top of the roof, and even though it's within 10 tefachim of the Rosh HaRab. So Rabbi Yehuda must be operating with some other variables over here, or other thoughts as to why the Chachamim should be inhibited about his rolling it back. And he's saying that that inhibition only applies when the Sefer is literally landed on the ground of Rosh HaRab. So that even though if it lands on the ground of Rosh HaRab and there's no Malacha D'Oraisa of Hotzah, because when he rolls the Rosh HaSefer from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYochid al Rosh HaGag, it's Ogdo B'yodo, but nevertheless, once it's on the ground, the Rabbanan are very uncomfortable about such a situation. Maybe if you allow him to roll it when it's on the ground, Rosh HaRabim, he may mistakenly think that even if he's not holding on to the top, or the bottom, whichever you want to say, of the Sefer, because he dropped it entirely, he would still be allowed, for the sake of Kvod HaSefer, to bring it back into the Rosh HaYochid, even if he dropped it entirely. So those are kind of additional chashoshos that might inhibit the Rabbanan from allowing you. But as long as the Sefer is still suspended in midair, then at least in the mindset of the Megalgel, he realizes that the Sefer is not in Rosh HaRab, even though it is in Rosh HaRab, because it's Lamata Me'asara, and under such circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda has no inhibition about allowing him to be Megalgel Sefer from Rosh HaRab into Rosh HaYochid, and he's not going to apply the principle of Hofcho Alaksav. He's going to go full force with the Kovod HaSefer, but only on the condition that there is a minimum airspace between the Rosh HaSefer and the ground. Very complicated. Now, if it's not complicated enough, we have Reb Shimon at the end. Reb Shimon says, Afilu Ba'aretz Atzma, he's even more mekil than Reb Yehuda. Before Reb Yehuda, we said it all depends upon whether it's suspended within the air of 10 Tvachim, and then we're going to be prohibitive. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm going to be more lenient, even if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rosh HaRabim, as long as there's an airspace. And Rabbi Shimon says, you know, for my part, let it land on the ground of Rosh HaRabim. I'm not concerned or inhibited with anything. There's only one thing on my mind. I am single-mindedly concerned and obsessed with Kovod HaSefer. And Kovod HaSefer in the most, you know, to take us to the most extreme, we're not going to rely on these, you know, fallback positions of Hofcho Alaksav. We want him to roll up the sefer from Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYochid, even though it's Munach al Gabi HaAretz. Now, in a funny sense, Rabbi Shimon, at the end of the Mishnah, might be identical with the Tanakhama at the beginning of the Mishnah, but that depends on how you learn a skupa. Once again, if I'm going to learn a skupa as identical with Rishus HaYochid, then since the opening bava in the Mishnah made no qualifications whatsoever, it doesn't say Bamedvar Amurim, was there airspace, or did it land on the ground? The assumption is that even though the Rosh HaSefer has landed on the ground of Rishus HaRabim, the Askupa is Rishus HaYochid, is Golo Etzlo. So it's a little bit odd. You know, when Rebbe organized the Mishnah, again, this is all based on the premise that the Askupa is Rishus HaYochid, which is going to be the sugya that we're learning, then the opening bava in the Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Shimon. And how do I know it's Rabbi Shimon? Because it's Rabbi Shimon who says that I'm not going to make any distinctions whether or not it's suspended in air, is it above, below ten tefachim, is there airspace of kemelo machat? Forget about all that. Gololo etzlo, even though it's munach agabi aretz. Well, that's exactly what it says in the Reisha in the case of es omed al eskupa, if you assume the Eskupa is Rishus HaYochid. Where do you find the Mishnah? I mean, again, there are a lot of strange things about this Mishnah, just structurally, literary, the literary Mishnah. Where do you find the Mishnah that opens up with a Tanakhama, then quotes Rabbi Yehuda, then ends up quoting Rabbi Shimon, who has the identical opinion as the Tanakhama? It's like Pasach b'Rabbi Shimon, Siyem b'Rabbi Shimon, and somewhere in the middle, We stoop in Rabbi Yehuda. That's not the structure of Mishnah. And furthermore, if the Tanakhama is really Rabbi Shimon, why did Rabbi omit his name? He should have opened the Mishnah by saying, Rabbi Shimon omer golo etzlo, in the case of Iskupa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, in the Tanakhama, if the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon, we have the distinction between Toch Asara, Lamala Me'asara, Lamata Me'asara. So that's what the Gemara is bothered by. Hayeskupa Hechi Domi, says the Gemara. E Lema Beskuma Rishus HaYochid. It has all the dimensions. It's 10 Tfachim high and 4 Tfachim wide. Vekama. And in front of the Iskupa where the Rosh HaSefer fell is a Rishus HaRabim. And nevertheless, the anonymous Tana Kama in our Mishnah allows you to be Golo Etzlo, meaning take it from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, because the Iskupa now is Rishus HaYochid. Is, I'm going to read it as a question, but let me not fool you, it's not really a question. But for me, personally, it helps if I read it with an inflection of a question. V'lo gazrinon dilma nafil v'osi lasuye? Are you not afraid that what happens if the man holding on to the other end of the sefer, when he stands on the iskupa, would drop that? He remembers that last week, last Shabbos, you allowed him to roll up the sefer, even though the Sefer ended in Rishus HaRabim, and even though the scoop is Rishus HaYochid, he had no compunctions about it. That's because of Ogdo B'Yodo. So he's going to think, even if it's not Ogdo B'Yodo, in a case of Nafil, which means that he dropped the Sefer, well, there's Kavod HaSefer. If a Kavod HaSefer you allowed me last week to roll it, then I'm going to pick it up from the ground. V'lo gazrinon, we're not afraid of this. We're going to assume that he understands the difference between Ogdo Biodo and Nafil Miodo as a difference between a Malacha Doraisa and an Iser Shvus de Rabbanon. He's going to understand that the Rabbanon last Shabbos allowed him to be Gololo Etzlo in the case of Ogdo Biodo because of the sake of Kvod HaSefer. But he understands that this Shabbos, when he completely dropped the sefer, he's not going to pick up the sefer and bring it to him onto his kupa, because that would be a violation of Malacha Doraisa of Otsa. And even for the sake of the Kavod HaSefer, we're not going to allow you to violate a Doraisa. He knows all this. It's almost like you're attributing a certain amount of Chachmas HaTorah to this person who is Golel Sfarim. Says the Gemara on the top of Daf Tzadiches, Mani Rabbi Shimonu. The only way we can understand the Reisha of the Mishnah, the case of Iskupa, which is formulated as an anonymous Tanakama, is if we learn the Seifa of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon explicitly allows you, despite the fact that you're Barosh Agag on Rosh HaSayoch, despite the fact that the Seifa, the Rosh HaSayoch, has fallen and is has landed on the ground of Rosh HaSarabim to be Golo Etzlo. And the reason for that is the principle of the Omar called Dovashu Mishum Shvus, Eino Omer Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh, that even though Ogdo Biyodo, which mitigates the Yehotzah Doraisa and reduces the Rabbanan Shvus, we're afraid that maybe he would bring it into him even if it was Nafal Miyodo. Nevertheless, we're going to insist on Kavod HaSefer, Kavod, he calls it Kavod Kisvei HaKodesh. And there's no shvus. It's really fascinating because what we have here, and I always say this is what halacha is all about, is a head-on collision between two great principles. On the one hand, we have the principle of shvus d'rabbanan. We're afraid if we allow you in scenario X, you'll come to violate a doraisa in scenario Y. And that's something that, you know, we have to, asus yog la-torah. On the other end of the spectrum, we have Kavod HaSefer. And now we have a clash, a head-on collision. So, my ulmi, hi mi hi. Which one is more important? You know, sometimes the Gemara analyzes the two Isurim to try to figure out which is Doraisa, which is Drabbanan. Yesterday we had a discussion, which is Yesh Lo Ikir Ben HaTorah in the case of Erev Tchumen, which is only Ein Lo Ikir Ben HaTorah in the case of Erev Chatzeros, and we discussed that. In today's Daf Yomi, it's also a head-on collision because I gave my peros before I was mafresh Truma Maisus over to Nama Aretz, and he's going to assume that I was mafresh, and he's going to eat it, or he couldn't care less. He'll violate an Isur Tevel Doraisa, Achilus Tevel, it's Achiv Karetz. I, on the other hand, could only save him if I violate an Isur Drabbanan of Hafrasha Shalom and Amukov. So that's the Daf Yomi for today. Machlokas Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. You know, again, a head-on collision. You know, where do we go? Do we say, well, you know, you're not allowed to be Mafish Shalom and Amukov, but that's an Isur Kal, and you're going to now violate Lifnei Iver because this fellow, this recipient, he's going to violate the Isur Doraisa of Achilus Tevel? Or should we say, no, you can violate the Isur Kal of Shalom and Amukov for the sake of saving him from an Isur Chamor. Here, what we have is an issue of Kvod Sefer Sifrei Kodesh, and since this Sefer is called Kisvei HaKodesh, we have to do everything we can to save it, even if it means violating a Shvus Rabbanan. That's the Shita of Rav Shimon. The only problem is that we have wedged in the middle of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall, says that if the Sefer landed on the ground of Rosh HaSarabim, we're not going to allow him to be Golel. We'll have to find another method of reducing the humiliation to the Sefer. So, Zotik Ra'ema Sefer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilu, Ein Mesulak Min Ha'aretz, Ela Kimelo Chut, Golo Etzlo. It means that we're only going to allow you to be Golel in the case of Hoya Omi Rosh HaGag because it didn't hit the ground of Rosh HaSarabim. And Reb Shimon Omer Afilu Ba'aretz, even if it hit the ground, Atzma Golel Etzlo, is Reisha in the case of Iskupa, which we're assuming now is a Rosh HaSayochid. The Seifa, and the case where the Sefer actually hit the ground when he was standing by Rosh HaGag is Rabbi Shimon, which means that even though we have real serious reason to apply the Shavuos, that you're allowing to be Golel and take the Sefer from Rishus HaRabbi into Rishus HaYochid, again, albeit because of the Ogdo B'Yodo, but forget about that. Tomorrow, even when it's not Ogdo B'Yodo, so no, forget about the Shavuos. What's primary in our mind is Kavadah Kisvei Kodesh, is Mitziyasa Rabbi Yehuda, and in the middle we have Rabbi Yehuda, who's going to tell you that even for the sake of Kavadah Sefer, we're not going to allow you, in the case where it landed on the ground, to be Golel Etzla, because we're always afraid that tomorrow, even if Nafal Miyado, he's going to pick it up and violate an Issa D'Oraisa of Hotzah. Amar Rav Yehuda, again, this is Rav Yehuda, not Rebbe Yehuda, we're talking about an Amora, is in Reisha V'Seifa, Rav Shimon Mitziyasa, Rav Yehuda. Not the most tragic situation in the world. But Rav is not happy with this. Rav would like to organize the Mishnah in a way that really protects the integrity of the Mishnah, and for the Mishnah to open up with a Tanakhama whose name is not attached, and we're only going to find out at the Sefer of the Mishnah that Tanakhama should be identified as Rav Shimon, and in the middle to wedge in the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, who's worried about this Gzera despite the Kavadah Sefer. That's not the way we should learn a Mishnah. That would be an implicit critique to Rebbe, who organized the Mishnayos. Therefore, says Rabbah, Hacha in our Mishnah, and again, they were Matir, being Golel, the Sefer, back into Rishu Sayachid, be Iskupa and address as Askinon. Fascinating. We have two variables on the seesaw. We have to be careful and see and focus on both variables. It's very easy to simplify matters and say, well, it's a Shavuos D'Rabbanan, because the Sefer landed in Rishus HaRabim, and it's Kavadah Sefer. That's not fair. You have to introduce another variable, and that is, how bad is bad? You're worried about Bizoyin HaSefer. There are different Madregas of Bizoyin HaSefer. Therefore, I'm not going to come up with an absolute rule in which the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon at the beginning and the end of the Mishnah hold that forget about the Shavuos, we're interested in Kavadah Sefer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we have to be worried about the Shavuos and insist on observing the Shavuos even at the expense of Kavadah Sefer. We have to see things in a much more complicated light. How severe will be the Bizayon to the Sefer? And we're going to work it out, says Rabbah, that even the Reisha, where the man is standing on an Iskupa, which is a Rishus HaYachid, and the Sefer landed in Rishus HaRabim, and it's on the ground of Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda will be Matir Golel, so that the Reisha could be accepted universally, that's why it's a Tanakhama, even by Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to divide up the Mishnah into two parts. The first part is unanimous, and the second part of the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi, that would maintain the integrity of this Mishnah, wunderbar. Why is it that the first part of the Mishnah is universally accepted? And the answer is because this iskupa is an iskupa shedarsin bo rabin, which means that the Rabbim just gravitate towards this Iskupa, and they stomp on the Iskupa. They may not be aware and sensitive to the fact that there's a Sefer Torah, a Kisvei HaKodesh, that landed on this Iskupa, or right outside the Iskupa. That puts you in the most extreme state of Bizayon HaSefer. Hacha biskupa had addresses askinon. Again, it's very hard for us to... I wish he had a picture for me of it, because it's not our iskupa. What do you mean, ours? What are you talking about? A scupa on interesses la rabim? I mean, you know, if you have a public, you know, office building, then everybody goes through the threshold of the building. But that's not what he's talking about. Obviously, they had a different kind of a scupa, and the scupa was used by the rabim. Umishum bizayon, in my translation, based on Rashi, adds the word gadol. Umishum sheyesh bizayon gadol lekisvei hakodesh, shari rabbanon, the chachamim will overlook their gzera of nefila for the sake of protecting the sefer from bizayon gamur, bizayon gadol, in the case of an iskupa on addresses. And this is something that even Rabbi Yehuda would log into. So we thought that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Shimon have an absolute polar extreme machlokes. There's no common ground between them. And the whole issue is whether or not we should override a Shavuos d'Rabbanan on Shabbos for the sake of Kavod HaSefer. Nein. Rabbi Yehuda himself would agree that if we get to the point where as a result of this Shavuos, the Sefer will be pounced upon. You know, you've heard stories about the Holocaust, you know, the Nazis, they used to love to pounce upon Sifrei Torah and all that. So that's the greatest bizayon of a Sefer Torah. Here even Rabbi Yehuda is going to backtrack a little bit and override the Shavuos. Again, I use the word override, but I think that's not the real accurate word here. I think what he's saying is that the Rabbanan never prohibited the Shavuos in a case of Bizayon HaSefer. But Rabbi Yehuda qualifies, it's got to be Bizayon Gadol of an Eskupa Nidresis. Then we get to a lesser Bizayon, where the Sefer is suspended in air. I mean, again, that's also Bizayon to a Sefer. But it's not Nidresis. Nobody is stomping upon the Sefer. And we could be hofcho es ksovo, so that if the sefer has landed on Rishus of Rabim, and we have a full-fledged serious chashash and a shvus of nafal, that tomorrow he's going to bring the sefer into the Rishus HaYochid, even if it fell completely from his hands, violating an Yisrael Tzodoraisa, then, since it's not a bizayon gomur, we're going to insist on the Shavuos. We're going to try to, you know, circumvent as much as we can and mitigate the Bizayon HaSefer and Hofchal Ksovo. And comes on Rav Shimon and says, no. I'm not buying into Hofchal Ksovo. The Sefer is suspended in air. Again, it's ground. It's landed on the ground of Rishus HaRabim. Forget about Shavuos. Kovet Kisvei HaKodesh is a limitation in the Shavuos. The Shavuos never applies when it's covered for the Sefer Torah. And before we get to Esrei Abaye, because Abaye has a brisa that we're not aware of, and Rabbah is certainly not aware of, we can really applaud Rabbah's approach, because Rabbah really sets up the Mishnah in such a way that the reish of the Mishnah could be accepted even by Rabbi Yehuda, because we're talking about a Bizayon Gadol, and we're going to overlook the Shavuos, even if the Sefer landed on the ground, right, because that's the case of the Reish of the Skupa, and there's no middle of the road gray area here as far as Kavod HaSefer. It's black and white. It's either the Shavuos or it's a total humiliation of the Sefer because it's Darsu Beirav. And that's his kupa. Then we get to the case of Hayomed al Gag, and here it's not an issue of Mokom Shedarsim Bo Rabim. So we're already on a different level of Kavod and Bizayon HaSefer. And here Rabbi Yehuda is going to insist on the Shavuos, overlooking the Kavod HaSefer, but not totally overlooking it, because he's going to reduce it and mitigate it by Hofchal HaKsav. And Rav Shimon says, Nate, let's go straight with Kavod HaSefer. We're not looking for medium degrees over here, and we're going to overlook the Shavuos. Now, there's a footnote here in the name of the Rashba, and I'd like to take a stab at it, because what seems to be almost left out of the whole sugya is the Shitas Chachamim differentiating between Toch HaSara or Lamaila MeHaSara. Right, let's go back to the Mishnah one more time on the previous Amud. And the Mishnah has right smack in the middle a Shita apparently of the Chachamim that in the case of Rosh HaGag, it depends whether the Sefer was Niskalgel and is suspended above Ten Tfachim or below Ten Tfachim. And where did the Chachamim fit into this whole discussion? So the Rashba writes the following. Hagmara hoisa yechol linko gam shamitzi osa hishita kishitas rabbanon hasovrim shemishigia la sorat fachim osor lach zira etzlo. If the Gemara is looking for a mitziosa, meaning somewhere wedged in the middle of this Mishnah, there's a sheet of Tanoim that insists on the application and to activate the gzera and the shvus of Nafil, they didn't have to quote Rabbi Yehuda. They could have quoted the Chachamim. The Chachamim and the Tziyasa say that if the Sefer drops within 10 Tfachim of the ground, even though it's still suspended in the air, which means that the Rosh HaSefer is technically in a Rosh HaSarabim, and the reason for that is because Sarabim goes up to 10 Tfachim, then Eino Golo Etzlo, which means that we're going to insist on the Shvus, and we're not going to consider the Kovod HaSefer. Why did the Gemara feel compelled to introduce Rabbi Yehuda as the Mitziyasa? The same point about the strange nature of this Mishnah, where the Mishnah opens with Rav Shimon, ends with Rav Shimon, and wedges another sheet in the middle, could have been presented even without mentioning Rabbi Yehuda. The Sovrim Chacham Shemishigia La'asar Tfachim Osalach Zero Etzlo Ela Kevon She'ein Yodua Mi'em Rabbanan Elu Hedifa Gemara Linkot Shem Shaltana Shisparish B'Mishnah. So the Rashba says that the Gemara had an agenda here to mention a name to show you that you have Rabbi Shimon both at the beginning of the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah. In the middle of the Mishnah, the Mishnah quotes a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. How could it be that the Tanakhama of that Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon when the first Tana whose name is mentioned in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? And that's a more severe question. But Eilchinami, the Rashba agrees that the Gemara could have avoided mentioning this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda by simply quoting the Chachamim, who hold that once the Sefer Torah, the Rosh HaSefer, is in Rishus HaRabim, is also Legolo Etzel because of the Gzera. And we're going to look aside as far as Kovod HaSefer is concerned. And that's against Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon, both in the Reish of Eskupa and in the Sefer of HaYerosh HaGag, insists that there's no such thing as a gzera and a shvus de rabbanon in b'makom kovod asif. Now the Rashba adds one more line, and then we'll go on to Abaye. He says, "Yitochein lomar." It's possible. Shekevon shagemara lekamon ma'midas kol ha'mishnah kishitas Rabbi Yehuda lochein nokto kan shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to see later on that the Gemara is going to work hard and over time in order to identify the Chachamim who are anonymous in this Mishnah as Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Gemara here on Oman Aleph will quote the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're very happy right now with Rabbah until Abai comes up with a Brice. The premise, just methodologically, of Abai is that this Brice is a reliable Brice, and not only that, this Brice add something to the Mishnah which was left out in the Mishnah, but for all intents and purposes, it can be integrated into the Mishnah. So whatever we see in this Braisa, according to Abaye, sheds a light on the Mishnah. What does it say in the Bryce? The Bryce is going to tell us that the heter to be golel etzlo has another condition to it, which was not specified in our Mishnah. The only conditions that our Mishnah discusses is whether it's below Asar Tvachim, whether it reached the ground. Those are all the cases in which we have to be inhibited about allowing, being lenient for Galila. Says the Mishnah, no, I have another requirement. Where did the Sefer fall in the ratio? Right, we're talking about a person who's standing on the Iskupa, he's holding on to the Sefer, he drops part of the Sefer, half of the Sefer, and the Mishnah allows him to roll it back. Where did it land? If it was Toch Arba Amos, then Golo Etzla. If the distance between the Iskupa and the Sefer, the Rosh HaSefer, is less than 4 Amos, that's when the Mishnah allows Galila. Golo etzlo. However, chutz li arba amos, if the distance between the eskupa and the place, the location X on the ground where the sefer, the Rosh HaSefer fell, is more than arba amos, so now we have an additional issue. Bad enough that the eskupa is Rishus HaYochid, and through Golel he's taking it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Not only that, he's also carrying it 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. Is then usul lachziro and hofcha laksa. Now this is going to be a major problem, a headache for Rabba. According to Rabba, the Mishnah is basically saying in the Reisha that because of this terrible, terrible bizayin to the Sefer Torah, because the Iskupa is an Iskupa and Nidreshes al Yidei Rabbim, we have to forget about all Shvusim. And Abai understands that it doesn't matter whether you add, you know, you could call it 1 Shvus, call it 2 Shvusim. You can calculate and add all the Shvusim in your world. But the Rabbanah never instituted a Shvus if the Sefer Torah is going to be pounced upon. And they would limit and restrict their Shvusim and say it doesn't apply in such a case. So therefore, argues Abai based on this price, even if the Sefer would have rolled and landed 4 Amos in the Rishus HaRab away from the Iskupa, it's Ogdo Biyado. He's holding on to the other side, the other half of the Sefer. There's no violation of any Doraisa, not Hotzah, nor Havaris Dal Rabbis Rishus HaRabim, nor Vos, we have to have Xera, that tomorrow maybe he'll make a mistake, even in the case of Nofil. But you have interpreted it as a case of an Iskupa Nidreshes, and in an Iskupa Nidreshes, the Rabbanon limit, or shall we say, deactivate their Shvusim. Iyamrit, says the Gemara. This is Abai talking. Iskupa Nidreshes, Askinon, that's the case in our Mishnah. And therefore, in order to avoid the Bizayin HaGadol of Kisrei HaKodesh, we're going to overlook any Shvusim. Is Mali Toch Arbamas, Mali Chutz Arbamas, even if the Sefer landed 4 hours or more from the Iskupa, what difference does it make? There's no Issur Torah here because it's Ogdo Biyado, and all you're left with is an Issur Drabbanon. And therefore, we should allow the violation of an Issur Drabbanon, or the way we try to interpret it, the limitation of the Shvus, so that there's not even an Issur Drabbanon. He doesn't have to do tshuva for violating a Drabbanon for the sake of preventing the Sefer of Torah from being Nidreshes. Now, keep in mind, Rabbosai, that we have now a double Drabbanon. Why? We have Mavir Amos Peshus HaRabim. Again, it's all Dabiyodas, so it's only Drabbanon. And we have Hachnosa from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. Nevertheless, the Gemara thinks it's in black or white, either or situation. If they were Matir for the sake of Kisrei HaKodesh in this very extreme Bizoyon, Isuri Drabbanon, what difference does it make if it's 1 Isur Drabbanon or if it's 2 Isurim Drabbanon? Now, what I'm trying to figure out, Rabosa, if you could help me with this, Abai found a brisa, and based on this brisa, he objects to Rabba. Now, I'm trying to figure out what would have been before Rabbah, right? If you remember, we had, what was his name? Rav Yehuda, right? Rav Yehuda said that we've got Reisha, Rav Shimon, Sefer Rav Shimon, and Metziosa, Rav Yehuda. Now, Rav Yehuda, in our Mishnah, and I'm avoiding Rabbah, right before, in the pre-Rabbah situation, Rav Yehuda insists on Shvus. Meaning, forget about Kavod HaSefer, we have to worry about the Shvus. Tomorrow, he's going to drop the Sefer and he's going to bring it in from another Rishus. What difference does it make whether the Sefer fell within Dalet Amos or beyond Dalet Amos? Meaning, why is Abai pointing an accusing finger at Rabbah? You know, like, Bishlam L'didi Lokash. If not for you, Rabbah, you're giving me tzaras. You're giving me a headache. I can't figure out the price. But if I didn't have your interpretation that Rabbi Yehuda admits that under a certain extreme violation of Kavod HaSefer, like Nidreses Barab, we can override Shvusim, and therefore we should override two Shvusim. If not for that statement, if I had the original interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that Rabbi Yehuda insists on activating the Shvus, despite the bizoyant to the Sefer, that was the simple pshat in Rabbi Yehuda, then I would understand the Braisa when the Braisa says, Bamedvar Mamurim. It's only if the Sefer fell within 4 amos, but not if it fell outside of 4 amos. What significance would you attribute to that distinction? Meaning introducing, in the case of beyond Arabs, the element of Havara in Rishus Rabbah, Havara style. Why is that relevant to Rabbi Yehuda? So obviously, according to Rabbah, it's not relevant because we're talking about an address that's Al-Yidei Rab, and that was Abai's objection. But let's say without Rabbah, and Rabbi Yehuda, hook, line, and sinker, insists on activating the Gzeirah Darabana. So why make a distinction between Toch Arba Amos and outside of Arba Amos? I mean, even if it's Toch Arba Amos, he's still violating Meleches Hotzah on a Shvus level, meaning tomorrow, if he drops it completely, he's going to be violating Meleches Hotzah by taking it from the Karka of Rishus HaRabin into the Eskupa, which is Rishus HaYochid. That's the point in this sugya that confuses me. So I'm going to leave that as an open-ended question. We don't have too much time, but Belineder over Shabbos, I'm going to try to work on that question, because I'm not exactly sure why Abaye levels this kasha at Rabbah based on this braisa that distinguishes between Toch Dalet and Liachar Dalet, as if to say that if not for Rabbah, we were smooth sailing here. I'm not sure exactly why. But in any event, based on this objection, Abaye reinterprets the Mishnah. Says Abaye, El Omar Abaye, when in the case of Iskupa, we allowed the Golel to, in order to avoid Bizayin HaSefer, we allowed him to be Golel the Sefer, is that's Hacha Biskupa Carmelis Haskina, not the way Rabbah had interpreted that's an Iskupa Hanidreses, but rather an Iskupa Carmelis. Okay, so now, all right, it's not here, but anyway, in the case of something that's above 3 tfachim, and it's in a Rishus HaRabim, and it's four tefachim wide, the Rabbanan called it a karmelis. So again, if you have a pole, a skinny pole in Rishus HaRabim, it's not Rochav Dalet, then it could be, if it's less than Dalet al Dalet, it would be a Makom Ptur. But if it's not a pole, we'll call it a pillar, and it has the width of four tefachim, then it becomes a karmelis. Abai wants to identify our skupa as just that. It does have a rochav of dalet tefachim, but it's only three tefachim high. Normally we would call that a makom ptur, but the answer is a makom ptur has to be very narrow. Here it's very wide, and if it has the width of four tefachim, it's a karmelis. Okay. Now, Rishus HaRabim Overis Lefaneo, and that's not new to us, and the Sefer was Misgalgel to the Rishus HaRabim. Oh. Now, says Abai, we can understand the distinction between Toch Dalet and further than Dalet. Why? Because in the worst case scenario, he is carrying the Sefer from Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, because the Eskupa is a Karmelis. Now, even though you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, but that's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, for the sake of Kavod HaSefer, we're going to allow you to violate the Issur of Hotzah LaKarmelis D'Rabbanan, and that's called Kavod HaSefer. B'Mei Dvarim Amurim, when there's no fear that he might violate an Issur D'Oraisa. And why would he violate an Issur D'Oraisa? Because if the Sefer landed more than four tefachim away from the Eskupa, then when he rolls the Sefer into, back up to the Eskupa, he has violated an Issur D'Rabbanan, but it's a D'Rabbanan which could lead to a D'Oraisa. Why? Because he is carrying the Rosh HaSefer four amos in Rishus HaRabim. Again, on a D'Oraisa level, he's not chayav because it's Ogdo B'Yodo. But now we have to worry about a Shvus Otu a Malacha D'Oraisa. If the Sefer landed within four amos, so then what's the worst tragedy here? He's carrying it from a Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, because the status of this Eskupa is that of a Karmelis. So that even if he would have dropped it in Rishus HaRabim, and next Shabbos he's going to confuse it in his mind, he's going to, you know, bend down on all fours, pick up the Sefer that fell in Rishus HaRabim, take it back to the Skupa, so what is the tragedy? He violated an Issur D'Rabbanan of Karmelis. So when you have a Shvus, Atu an Issur D'Rabbanan, meaning even if he makes the mistake and equates Nefilo with Ogdo B'Yodo, in the worst case scenario, he'll only violate Issur D'Rabbanan, that we can overlook for the sake of Kavod HaSefer. But if on the other hand, the Sefer landed four amos or more away from the Eskupa, now you've got a serious problem of Mavir Dalet Amos B'Rishus HaRabim. And if we're going to allow you in the case of Ogdo B'Yodo to bring the Sefer four amos through Rishus HaRabim, then tomorrow or next Shabbos, when it's not Ogdo B'Yodo but it's Nefila, you might be tempted to carry the Sefer into the Eskupa four amos, if it fell and landed four amos away from the Eskupa in Rishus HaRabim, and violate an Issur D'Oraisa. In such a case, we're not going to allow you, for the sake of Kavod HaSefer, according to this interpretation of the Mishnah, to overlook a shvus terabon. Let me just read this note. He says, "Af shenitan lahakshos kushes zu." He's referring to Abai's kasha. Gam l'Rabbi Yehuda shehemides harisha. Rabbi Yehuda means the Amora of Yehuda. Shehemides harisha kishitas Rabbi Shimon. Shrei gam kishin is galgel chutzli arba amos hu rak isa drabonin kevish etzido asheni tofus biyodo. And he says the following, that before Rabbah we have Rav Yehuda, and the Reish of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. And if Rabbi Shimon insists on dropping the guard on the Drabbanans and the Gzeir Drabbanans, because of Bizoyan, they should apply that even in the case of Chutz Liarba Amos. El Kevin Shabbai Diber Im Rabba Shahoy Rabbo Lefichah Hiksha Kein Lefi Dvarov. So that's Tosu Tibi Maskel V'i on the top. Achat Toras Chaim Tirates Shekushi Zu Hidafka Lefi Rabba Shehemid Es HaMishnah Bi Iskupas Iskupa and addresses Mishum Shel Rabbi Yehuda Nitan Lomish Abraisim Daberes Bi Iskupa Shehi Karmelis V'lo Rishus HaYochid. Lachen Yeshchiluk Beinim Nofal Toch Arba Amos and Nofal Chutz Arba Amos Kifi Shebir Abai B'Somuch Avol HaMishnah Vadim Daberes Bi Iskupa Rishus HaYochid Kmo Hasefa biomid rosh b'rosh agag shurishus hayochid ubaze ein hevdel bein toch arba amos l'chutz arba amos ach l'rabo shehemid biskupa anidreses v'gam Rabbi Yehuda hitir mishum kvod kisvei hakodesh shuvein l'chalik bein toch arba amos l'chutz li arba amos. And here we have the sugya of Abai. So right now, we mentioned that according to Abai, the eskupa has the status of a karmelis, not a rishus hayochid, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. It doesn't have the height of asar tefachim, and it's got the height of 3 tefachim. It doesn't have a tikra. It's a karmelis rishus rabba vers lefaneha. And that's where the Sefer ended in Rosh Hasharabim. Chachom Matir taking the Sefer back to the Iskupa, because even if the entire Sefer would have been Miskalgil to Rosh Hasharabim, there would not be any Sotorah to be Machzir to the Carmelis. And therefore the Brisa says, well, let's make a distinction between Toch Arba Amos and Chutzi Arba Amos. If it's Toch Arba Amos, he nofalo osi lidei chiyuv chatos. Is there for Shari Le Rabbanan because of the Kvod HaSefer, they were matirit. But Chutzi Arba Amos, if it fell further than 4 Amos away from the Eskupa in Rosh Hasharabim, is E Maisile, if in a case where he dropped the Sefer, he would carry it from there into the Carmelis, is Osli Dechiv Chatos. Why? Because he's Chayefa being Mavidal and Amos Rosh Hasharabim. And therefore, lo shari le rabbanon, in such a case where the shvus de rabbanon is because it's otu e doraisa, then we're not going to allow that violation of a shvus for the sake of kovod hasefer. That's the braisa. Now, all this is based on Rashi, dibro maskel chayev, but in the Meiri, he says that af Sheminiach beKarmelis, the embos that isum in a Torah become come uchayev chatos mishum avoras arba amos b'shusarab. So he says, even though at the end of the day, if he takes it back into the eskupa, and let's say it had fallen 4 amos away, there would not be a violation of a doraisa because he put it down in a karmelis. But nevertheless, he would be chayav chatos because of avaras dal adam susarab, even though he dropped it and he placed it down in a karmelis in the eskupa. I mean, for that we'd have to see the next sugya about what's called mavir dal adam susarabim derech karmelis. And when there's a mafsekes karmelis between, that's Rava's shita of amaver chefetz b'tchilas arba sof arba viro derech olav. In other words, above asar tefachim, which is a makom tur, and Rava says it's chayv chatas, that's going to be the very next part of our sugya. So maybe we should wait with this meiri until we get to that that part of the sugya. Okay, then so here's where we're going to stop with Ella Amar Abaye on the, I would say it's about halfway down the Omer on Daf Tzadiches Omer Aleph.